Hello and welcome back to the National Outdoor Pod Show campsite, where today you're joining us on episode 4 and it's all about climbing. If this is the first episode you're tuning in for, then make sure to head back and watch all of the other episodes that have been out so far. If you haven't entered the competition from yonder to win the Ultimate Swimmers Bundle, then make sure you do so by heading to the link in the description. Whilst you do that, please also take 30 seconds to leave us a like, comment, review, and subscribe. Let's see what's coming up on this week's episode. This week, Ness Knight is our headline guest, and she tells Elise about a hairy story involving a hyena. ThruDoc are back from episode 1 to tell us a bit more about some of the kit that they offer. Why is that tent on a car? Latitude are here to tell us all about their camping tech. If you're looking out for your next camping excursion, then make sure to tune in this week where we talk to Camp Wild. And finally, we take it back to Tanuke and the team from ThruDoc, who are going to give us some awesome advice to take onto your next adventures.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 4 of the National Outdoor Pod Show, kindly sponsored by the awesome Yonder, who are giving away the Ultimate Swim Bundle. So check the show notes for how to enter the competition to win that. But before we go on, today's episode's all about camping. And awesome, as you can see by this awesome tent behind us from Terra Nova, their tents are really cool and lightweight, so check them out if you want to. But before we go into the meat of the podcast, where we've got some awesome guests coming in, I'd like to ask our hosts top tips for camping. So we've all done a bit of camping. We all like being outdoors. What are your absolute golden tips for our audience? Sanuke, I'm coming to you first.
For me, it's all about like those fairy lights, battery pack fairy lights. I'm going for comfort over practicality right now. I'm feeling the fairy lights, and I'm also feeling a like camping stove situation, like a little Bunsen burner thing. When you can't just eat canned food, it's just not cute.
Yeah, you've got to have the stove situation because you need your coffee in the morning, right? That's the ultimate.
You've got to have hot food, otherwise you're not comfortable and it's not fun.
Decent tips. I like those. Okay, Elise?
I've got two. So first, slightly more useful tip is compared to my second one.
Wasn't even a subtle burn. No, that was a straight up insult.
No, it was a burn against what will be my second tip. Don't worry. So
guys, I'm really sorry. The show's fallen apart. The hosts have fallen out. They're going to be fighting.
I'm off. I'm out of it.
I promise. I was referencing my own tip.
Right, Elise.
I'm sorry to do
top tip.
So My useful top tip is that, like, just have good wet and dry kit etiquette. Like, if you've got soggy stuff from hiking a day, make sure you keep your dry kit dry and your wet kit, well, try and dry it, but keep it away from your dry kit. That is number one. You want to guard those dry socks with your life.
Yeah, man.
My second one, food related, is I've got two tips. Firstly, if you're wearing chocolate and it's a hot summer's day, flakes don't melt. So
I don't understand this. Flakes don't melt.
It worries me a bit what they've put in it to make them not melt.
Even if you hold it in your hand.
They just don't melt. Yeah, if you put it in the microwave, it won't melt.
Really?
What? Yeah, you can microwave a flake and it won't melt. Also, Gouda is the cheese that lasts longest out of the fridge.
Wow, those are really actually quite useful tips.
Like when I was in my van, I had a tiny little van with no sort of refrigerator compartment. And yeah, if you buy like sliced Gouda for your sandwiches, which sounds fancy but isn't as fun, that isn't really. It doesn't go off as quickly as other cheeses.
So my top tip is all about sleeping. I think just really make sure your bed is the most comfortable place, because it can be really miserable if it's not.
Yeah.
But great. Okay, guys. Well, that's some good top tips. So, where's the best place you've been camping? You've camped everywhere, right?
Yeah, I've done a bit. Probably my standout camp was actually last year. It was one of my friends' birthdays. So three of us went and wild camped in the lakes. It was a beautiful, beautiful summer's day in June.
Oh,
and we hiked up to, I think it was Lowfell. It was in kind of the western lakes, like quite a not a super busy spot. So there was literally nobody there. And there was just such an incredible view in the morning. And also it was really dry, so the ground was dry, but really there was loads of like moss underneath, so I didn't even put my mat out, I don't think, because it was so soft.
Lovely.
Oh, nice. What about you, Sanuke?
Well, I actually went cliff camping the other day.
That's cool.
Which was...
Hang on, I think I saw this on your website. So you're on a suspended...
Yeah. It's like, it's what you would do if you were going to be like climbing up like a quite over a multitude of days. But I just went and did that bit for fun.
How would you do just that bit?
So you climbed, it was in Pembrokeshire in Wales. Oh, and then you climb down, it's like a porter ledge. And you climb down to it. And then I spent the night there, which was mental. It was amazing waking up in the middle of the night and just being like... I was so worried that, you know, sometimes wake up in the middle of the night, you don't quite know where you are.
Yeah.
I was going to wake up and just be like, oh my God. But it was really high up.
So
pretty epic.
Two things. Firstly, I hope you did this with like a proper instructor, right? You didn't just
make it. I did not do this on my own. Do not do that at home, everyone. Don't think that's a good idea.
Second thing, do you sleepwalk?
No, but we are harnessed in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, of course. We're harnessed in all night.
Because that would be my big worry. Like, it's like...
Yeah.
I'm quite an active sleeper.
Yeah.
I worry about how I would fare in that.
Really enjoying your impression of an active sleeper.
Yeah, I was thinking like...
Yeah.
So this is really inspirational content. I bet our audience are hooked and can't wait. So unfortunately, I'm going to have to move on from this very entertaining and educational part of the session. But we're coming up to our big interview now. And before we do that, I'd just like to say a big thank you to Yonder for sponsoring us. And don't forget the competition. So take a look in the show notes for that. But over to our big guest interview now.
Have you ever been stalked by a hyena? No, me neither. But find out what it would feel like to be stalked by one in this conversation with Ness.
I'm really excited to be here chatting to Ness Knight today about some of her adventures for our guest interview on this camping episode. Hi, Ness.
Hi.
How are you today?
Yeah, really good. It's absolutely bananas out there. There are floods of people, honestly.
Yeah.
We're just doing a talk on the stage and you just look out and it's like a sea of heads. It's amazing.
Well, it's quite nice and calm in here, so you can have a little bit of peace and quiet.
A little reprieve, isn't it?
So if people aren't familiar with you, Ness, do you want to just like tell us a bit about yourself, kind of, because I know you've done so many different adventures on different means of transport all over the world. Yeah. Kind of give us a bit of in a nutshell.
In a nutshell, it's been, I think, just over a decade since I've been doing these weird and wonderful exploits. But I started out and the first few years of my adventurous endeavours were more endurance athlete stuff, trying to break world records and, you know, push my mind physically and mentally to the limits and see if I could push back what I thought was humanly possible. Mm-hmm. And then the world changes you. You go out there and you travel and it just gets into your heart and your soul. And you realise that, I'd done enough that I didn't have anything left to prove to myself. So that was fine. And then you meet these indigenous communities and you see the wildlife and you hear the stories that really need to be told out there. And suddenly your trajectory changes of what you do. And so the expeditions became longer for months on end, sometimes into very remote, far-flung corners of our planet and trying to tell the story of those locations and at the same time have the most bonkers, wonderful adventures at the same time. So I've got a bit of a screw loose. A few nuts and bolts actually that are rattling around my head. The sanity levels are iffy, always have been. So I need those extremes. Mm-hmm. But at least now they're meaningful. And so, yeah, some crazy expeditions in jungles, deserts, mountains, rivers, all sorts of stuff. And now it's also veering into filming more serious documentaries that are about wildlife crime, for example.
Okay.
So it's become very interesting.
It's really interesting and like quite refreshing to hear that change from doing those sort of breaking world records and saying you've got like you've kind of proven to yourself you can do it. Because I think because sometimes doing those kind of things it can be a bit of a trap of then you've got to do something bigger and better and it's like
and where's the end?
Yeah, and it's like interesting to hear you've had a bit of a shift in perspective on your adventures.
Totally. Yeah, I feel very lucky that you know I got quite quickly to a point where I realised that the more meaty and interesting stories that mattered were other people's, and I did feel like I think a lot of time people forget to take a look back over their shoulder and see how far they've come and what they've achieved and be proud of that, not in an arrogant way, in a humble way. But I think that that's a really important part of it because people always have this tendency to look to the future and think, well, I need to do the next level up and the next bar and set that higher and keep achieving. Otherwise, am I good enough, you know, for what the world and I think I should be? And I think that's a very dangerous game to play. So I was lucky enough to, you know, be able to look back and say, I'm happy and I'm satisfied. And I think for me, from a very young age, I set in place this goal for my life that it doesn't matter what I do with it, as long as I can get towards the, you know, the twilight hours of my life and say I have as few regrets as possible. Mm. And so, going on a tangent now.
That's all right.
We're getting a bit great deep, tangent. Aren't we, Bob? this early in an interview.
Yeah, it sounds like you've been to some really interesting places. So obviously this is our camping episode. So I'd love to know just a bit about what's your most memorable night under canvas?
Strike me immediately. It's all wildlife encounters, isn't it? It's just beautiful. So one is jungle and one is desert. Yeah. So desert one, I was in Namibia in the kind of northern reaches where there is no civilization. Mm-hmm. It's arid, it's desolate, it's wild. It's flanking the oldest desert in the world. And it's otherworldly. And so I was doing a solo fat bike from the border with Angola all the way down to Swakopmund, where the heart of that the Namib Desert begins. Mm-hmm. I'd set my tent under this kind of rocky overhang, tiny, middle of nowhere. There was not much around at all. And at about 2-3 in the morning, now when I was setting up, I had seen spoor and footprints of all sorts, although it's so desolate. You look around and you can see for miles and it seems like it's empty and dead.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, it's so alive with stuff. They just come out in weird ways. And at 2-3 in the morning, I just remember hearing the sniffing around my tent. I'm like, there's no one or nothing around you. What on earth is sniffing around my tent? And it turns out that for a few days from then and after, and I think from going on what some of the film crew were saying before that I'd been stalked by one or multiple hyena. That was interesting. I kind of took a little peek out. I was like, my God, okay, we're just going to stay in here.
What goes through your mind in that kind of moment? Because I feel like I've done quite a bit of camping in the UK, which obviously, you know, it's got its own dangers, but you're not going to encounter a hyena.
Yeah.
But you hear that rustle outside. It's probably just a sheep.
And I know, your brain just goes wild.
What do you do when there actually is a kind of dangerous animal out
there? What do you do? You just sit there and shake.
Yeah.
And you sweat.
Same as when it's a sheep then.
No, I think, you know, that for me, actually, funny enough, I should have been quite nervous according to most other people. But the reality is that when you get all these big animals, more often than not, if you were to probably poke your head out, it would just absolutely poo its pants and run, you know. So I think the level of danger from that kind of wildlife is minimal, if anything at all. It's just in our heads.
Yeah.
It's an evolutionary protecting kind of reaction that we have to fight or flight. Mm-hmm. But no, that was one of the most beautiful experiences. I just sat and listened to it for ages. The film crew the next day when I met up with them, like 15K down the way, they gave me one of those little horn blasters. Yeah. Like, if you hear anything, just give it a toot. But I was like, no, I love it. It's great. And then the other one was in the jungle. We were going to find the source of the third largest river in South America. And we're deep in the heart of primary rainforest and we had no possibility of evacuation because all the guys with the choppers in Guyana and neighboring countries said, oh, we don't have any winches. So if you have something go wrong that deep in the jungle where there's no civilization, you're going to have to cut an area the size of a football pitch down in order for us to land the heli and evacuate you out. So we were like fully on our own. We're like, that's not going
to
happen.
Probably not going to be able to do that.
I just don't think they wanted to be particularly involved in what we were doing, but never mind. It's another story. But yeah, so we were with this indigenous community. We had five of their best warriors with us. And they took us through the jungle to find the source with us because they lived on that river. So for them, it was finding the source of their own river that had never been found or documented, which was phenomenal. And they kept saying to us, no, you need to lift your hammocks up a little bit more. I said, I can barely get into my flipping hammock, you know, and I'm a tall girl. And they're like, a little bit more. I'm like, I got to jump to get in. I'm like, what's this all about? And they said, no, listen, you'd be lucky to see jaguar during the day, but at nighttime we are going into the heart of where we know they are because they know that area through and through. And they said, you're going to have them come through camp at night. And do you want it here or do you want it you know,
it's a good point.
We're lifting, it's fine. I mean, you know, again, there's no danger whatsoever if they come through, it's curiosity. But I remember waking up one night and I felt this kind of brush underneath my hammock, and I turned to the side and I just see this flick of a tail moving. So they'd come underneath and brush through. And I was just like, wow.
What an amazing experience.
I don't know about you, but sometimes when I go camping, it's all about style. So add to your collection with some of the Through Dark kit that we have coming up.
Hi there, and welcome to the kit section of the pod show. I'm joined by Through Dark today, and I want to hear about some of the top bits of kit you guys have got going on.
We do a plethora of kit, everything from, you know, fitness range all the way to summit suits that can take you to the top of Everest.
So yeah,
there's a real range of clothing there. And I guess that some of the best sellers are actually more of the everyday operator kind of stuff that we released. So our flannel shirt is actually our biggest best seller, which is strange for me to say, considering we're an outdoor technical brand. So there's things like that in the range, but there's also stuff that's kind of modern outdoor. I would say it's, dare I say this, is maybe going into a little bit of gawk core, but it's like technical British waxes, which we're trying to bring into the future. So more of a technical fit to them. So yeah, it's quite interesting, magnetic pockets and stuff, but it kind of still looks a bit old school.
Love that. Yeah. What have you got, both of those here with you today?
Yeah, so we actually released a capsule with one of our ambassadors, Foxy, you might know him off TV, so SAS Who Dares Wins. So the first capsule is kind of inspired by some military kind of clothing that we have. So one of them's, we used to call it in the military actually, a jumper wool heavy. And it's 100% wool jumper, but it's got Dyneema patches on the elbows. So it's like reinforced, so kind of beats everyday wear.
Yeah, amazing. Love that. Well, wow, congratulations on everything. I'm loving all of the branding, by the way. You guys are totally killing it.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
Moving on to the next section of the pod show.
Tenting Tech is up next, while we chat to Latitude Adventures, and we even headed out onto the show floor with Tanuke to see what it's all about.
Hi there, and welcome to the tech section of this pod show. Today, I'm out on the show floor, and I'm here with Charlie from Latitude. I want to know all about what you guys do, and what's the story?
So we're basically here showing our roof tents and how you can turn your car or 4x4 van into your own little road trip machine, your own little camper. We've got three different models here on three different vehicles for everyone to come and have a look at and climb inside and have a little look around, so it's great fun.
What's the deal with, how did you come up with the idea for it to be on top of? Like, why is it necessary to be up there and not down here?
So it helps with, space, obviously. Uh-huh. You don't need to pack your tent inside of the car. The mattress is built in, so you need to put your mattress in there or your bed in. It takes like 30 seconds to 2 minutes to put up. So it's ease, comfort, convenience, essentially. Just
everything all in one. And that's nice to be off the floor, isn't it?
Exactly, it's always flat. It's so much warmer and more thermally efficient to be off the ground. It's not pulling all the heat out of the tent.
So. And so what kind of models do you have? Is it just this one here, or do you have different types?
No, we've got three different models. Okay. So we've got this one here, which is our Explorer model, which is our hard shell offering on this Ineos. We've also got our Pioneer model, which is our kind of entry level or can fit on any car, essentially, on the little mini around there, which is great. That's here to demonstrate that you can practically put it on anything,
because
it's the smallest car we could find, essentially.
Nice.
And then we've got an extra large version of that, which is the Pioneer XL, which is on the Ford Transit just around the corner, and that's for families that can sleep four. So essentially you can go away with your family and all sleep on top.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
So how fast is it actually to pop up and put down?
So this opens on gas struts and it opens in 30 seconds.
30
so
seconds?
Easy. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think I'm going to have to try it out. You've
got to climb inside and try it out.
I can just climb straight up. Okay. How many times have you done this today?
I do it with my eyes closed.
Nice. All right. Oh my God, it's so cozy up here. I want snacks. This is the end of this segment of the pod show, and I'm going to head back to the studio and get on with the rest of the show.
If you haven't left a like or a comment, then make sure to do so now as we head back to part two of Elise's chat with Ness Knight.
I think that's such a good point you make, though, about the like actual danger of those kind of situations being very low. Because I think sometimes like, the outdoors can be seen quite like daunting. And yeah. It's like, in theory, you're like in alone in a place. It's a bit eerie. There's yeah. these big creatures. Yeah. But actually, like statistically, I'm much more likely to come to harm walking home from the pub in the city. Yeah. Like, unfortunately. And yeah. I think those kind of how we perceive those fears, I think, puts people off a lot. Whereas, yeah. like you say, a hyena is probably just curious. It's scared of you.
Completely. Yeah, I think we're always going into these environments and we're worried about the big things, the big bears, mm. the lion, the elephant, the jaguars, all the big stuff. And the reality of it is, going into that jungle environment, that was the least risk by, mm. if any. What? So we'd be lucky to see that wildlife. Yeah. And they'd be far away and they'd scatter when they see us, you know. But the danger comes from, like I spoke about on stage mm. earlier, you know, from complacency in your personal admin and your kit and things like that, but also from the protozoa, the bacteria, the parasites, that kind of things that you pick up, the stuff that burrows into yeah. your skin and starts growing their little larva, and, you know, the infections that come mm. from that. Because you're trying to look after yourself, but you're in the jungle and you're covered in stuff, mud and dirt, and you're, you know, going down a river and you're wet all day and you can't look after yeah. that. And that's where we got sick. And I think with myself, they thought I had malaria. At some point, they thought maybe it was dengue fever as well after that. And Pip got leishmaniasis, okay. which is a flesh-eating parasite Ooh. That eats into your soft palate. It's from a little sandfly. So we're camping on the sandbanks of the river. So, I mean, that's where the dangers yeah. are, is in just complacency. You know, she nearly got bitten on the arse by a pit viper. Yeah. And it's just because we're complacent. We're not looking out. We lose yeah. that, or we're just not looking after ourselves. And that's the danger, not the big mm. stuff. So when you hear the rustling at night, you just got to keep doing it and get over it, because it's ingrained in us from mm. evolution. But really, that's not where the danger comes from at all. And in general, if you're looking after yourself, there's not really danger.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's a really good thing to remember. And it's like, the do you enjoy the experience of kind of camping and sleeping that outside in its own right, or is it sort of a means to an end, but to do the sort of adventures you want to do?
Both. I mean, I'm quite happy to literally go and camp in my garden yeah. or on the hilltop somewhere nearby. Yeah. I love it. It's just that feeling of exposure to the elements and that, I guess it resets you, doesn't mm. it?
And I think I just sleep so well in a tent. And I yeah. think it's because, yeah. like, they always say, like, to get a good night's sleep, you should have really good, like, sleep hygiene, shouldn't you? And in your bedroom, you shouldn't be, like, watching TV and scrolling yeah, on your yeah. phone. And I feel like there is something about being in a tent where you're like, I'm just here to sleep. Like, there's nothing else to do here. And it yeah. is, I always get a solid 8 hours in a tent.
Completely. 100%. Absolutely. No, I love it. And just going out, like, we're talking about Scotland mm. and how beautiful yeah. it is up there. And just going with mates for a weekend and going camping and hiking around, you know, it's some of my best memories are from that stuff, mm. not just the, we talk about the big expeditions, yeah. but like my most beloved memories are those kind of yeah. ones. And it's just epic, you know.
If somebody's like keen to get, like, try out sort of sleeping in these more extreme environments, mm. like, what advice would you give them as a starting point? If somebody's not, they've maybe done a bit of camping, but kind yeah. of on a campsite with their kind of big tent and their cooker, yeah. like, what steps would you sort of take?
Yeah, I think, like, in the first instance, if you're going to an extreme environment, obviously you need the right kit.
Yeah.
So if you're going into a less extreme, more benign environment, I think in both cases anyway, the next step is get to know your kit.
Okay.
So many people I see, they go out and they've unwrapped their stuff for the first time at home. They put it up once or twice. It's taken about an hour to do because we're all trying to figure out where everything goes. And then they go out and they don't enjoy their time camping because okay. they've just not got to know their kit and how to set it up quickly and just enjoy mm-hmm. the environment that you're in. So I think that's really, really important.
Does the kit you take vary a lot depending on what kind of environment you're going to, or do you have a sort of base setup that you take everywhere?
No, it's varied a lot. I mean, it depends if you're going with people or not, single man, multi. But for example, we were talking about the desert and the jungle. So in the desert, I needed a lot of ventilation, very lightweight. You know, I was on a fat bike, so the weight, and I was literally by the gram taking labels okay. and cutting things out to try and have the least amount yeah. of weight possible. And, you know, it was up to 50 degrees Celsius in the daytime. Yeah. It was absolutely honkingly boiling hot out there in the jungle. A lot of rain happening, a lot of damp, and you have to have a hammock. So completely different setup, completely different environment. And also, you know, when you're setting up tents, quite often we're out in the open. When you're setting up a hammock, you've got to look above you and be like, are there any dead branches that might be falling down? So I think it's also about, if you're brand new to this, just get to know, if you're going to certain locations, what to look out for. I mean, quite often, you know, in the jungle as well, it was making sure that what you're hammocking above, and laying out some palms underneath that. So if you do need to get out in the night, I remember one time I woke up to like really loud, thousands of next to me. And I kind of leaned out and shone my phone. And these ants, just this monstrous kind of highway of ants were coming through. Those kind of hammerhead ones that really huge blooming things. And so, it's just kind of your awareness of your environment as to how you set things up and getting in a comfort zone. And I'd say just keep it in your home, even in your garden for the first few times, or local, and just get comfortable with it so that when you do go further afield and have the big adventures, that you just thoroughly enjoy it because you know it inside out. So
cool. And one last question before I let you go. If you were going to, you've got a weekend and you've got to take someone on a camping trip, kind of an outdoor adventure involving some camping to make that kind of really share what you love about it, where would you take them? And what would you do?
You know, it would probably be Scotland.
Okay.
And we're chatting about this. Yeah. I think it is definitely in my top three locations and countries in the world. If you can go off season, that is phenomenal. It's quiet. You've got these beaches that feel like you're somewhere tropical that are just, there's not a single soul. You've got these beautiful lochs. You've got the mountains. It's just the most beautiful environment. And, you know, if you're into kayaking, there's amazing rivers there. It's just phenomenal. So get off the beaten track. I would take them there and just, dram a whiskey.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice little campfire.
Yeah, I feel like we were saying earlier, like every time I go to Scotland, I just think, why do I go anywhere else? Yeah. It's just, like, it's got everything.
It's got everything.
Yeah, literally everything. Such a great place. Well, thanks so much, Ness. And if people want to kind of follow along with your adventures, where can they find you?
I guess Instagram, place to go, Ness_Knight on Instagram, yeah.
Thanks so much.
Did you know that there is actually a rainforest in the UK? I bet you didn't, but find out more about it in this excursion chat with Tom.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the excursion section of the pod show. I'm obviously talking about all things camping, and I am joined here by Tom from Camp Wild. Please fill me in about everything you guys do.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Camp Wild project, and it's a project because we are building and growing this thing hopefully into the future. Mm-hmm. And our goal is to work with landowners all around the UK, England, Wales, Scotland. These are lovely people who just families that have been farming places for generations, and we're working with them to sort of unlock their land and allow people to come on.
Brilliant.
So get people into green open spaces that has been previously shut away for potentially hundreds of years.
Yeah.
Get them in, explore the area, learn from like the farmers, even get to like work with them for a day, you know, get out, get involved with that, and completely transform the camping experience basically. So instead of it being on a campsite, which is what you would expect from camping, right? You go to a campsite, it's got facilities and toilets and all that stuff and pitches, and you have to be there a certain time and leave at a certain time. This is completely different. So it's very much a wild experience, very immersed in nature.
Way more exciting.
It is way more exciting. There's a lot to explore there. And I think the exciting thing about it, I think, for people that potentially like enjoy camping but would think, oh, how do I get into that, because it's very far from like the campsite setup, is that it's really not that difficult to do.
Fair enough.
It's really not. So yeah, hopefully get people.
And you're just making it more accessible to people.
It's just access is key, really, you know, to make it so that it's normal.
Yeah.
It's a normal part of people's lives that they just get out into the woodlands or into places that they would never go and stay the night.
And it's just a community of people that you're building. And do you have any excursions that are your favourite one to recommend to the community, or to the community have
definitely
a favourite one?
So, when we started this, we thought it was just going to be, you know, kind of fields and farmers' land. That's what we thought. And actually, it's been anything but. And we're working with some pretty incredible places. There's a rainforest. A real rainforest, actual rainforest.
Where is it?
It's between Devon and Cornwall.
Oh my gosh,
and
who knew?
It's a rainforest.
I did not know that.
It's honestly the most beautiful place in the world. It's got more nature in it than you can, like, believe, like, quite literally. It, it's, um, it's breathtaking. And when we went there for the first time, because no one's been there for 100 years.
Okay.
So it's completely...
I hadn't heard about it.
Exactly. we went there for the first time. We were walking along the river there, and there was this enormous red deer.
Incredible.
Right in front of you, like 7-8 foot high. And so those are the sort of experiences that really are like very unique and very hard to access in this country. You know, we are super like, sort of separated from nature. We're so nature depleted and disconnected. So yeah, hopefully this project will get more and more people out and doing it.
Incredible. What's this rainforest? What's it called?
It's called Caradon Rainforest.
When can I join?
Join now, get involved.
Yeah,
I'll give you a card after this.
Yeah, let's do it.
Get out. But honestly, it's an amazing place. And like there's we're at 100 wild spaces now in around England.
Brilliant.
For us, it's not just about people that have been wild camping before, it's about everybody. So literally wild camping is for everyone. Families, people never done it before.
Amazing.
Across the spectrum of it.
Yeah, I'm into it. I'll definitely see you there next time. Thank you so much for joining me.
No problem at all. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and we'll be moving on to the next section of the show.
And for the final section of this episode, we are taking it back to the Through Dark team, who are going to give us a little bit of advice.
Welcome to the advice section of this pod show. And we are here with Through Dark, and I want to talk about high quality performance. You guys are championing all of that right now. Fill me in a little bit about what that means to your brand.
Yeah, I guess it's come from our backgrounds. I guess in special forces, you're expected to be high performance athletes, yeah. I guess. And, you know, you've got to perform on every single level to the highest degree possible. So you've got to keep yourself in check at all times. Yeah. And I guess that when we've created the brand Through Dark, there's not been any change there. So all of the gear that we create is for high performance athletes. So it's capable of doing spectacular things.
Yeah. And what do you say to your customers and things like that about high performance, about how to get into it, about how to sustain it, about, you know, anything?
I guess we're like, nobody's infallible, right? So I think that special forces operators are probably put on a pedestal quite often, and everybody thinks that they're chipped out of marble. We're not. There's plenty of flaws in everything I do on a day-to-day basis, but I do have my missus actually to keep me in check. She's pretty good at that.
Fair
to make sure that I'm doing things in the best possible way I can do, and I'd like to do the same thing for her as well. So I think it's important for each other to kind of keep yourself straight, you know. So yeah, on a day-to-day basis, high performance, because it's just the little things, right? So small goals, set yourself small goals and aim for the higher ones. So it's incremental.
Amazing. Thank you so much. Thank you for all your advice today. Moving on to the next section of the pod show.
Definitely ready to head out on my next camping adventure now. But just before that, we're going to throw it back to the host for a little bit more chat.
Thank you, everybody, for sticking with us throughout this episode. I hope you've enjoyed it. It's been really good for us as well. Now, we're going to move into our new regular feature, which is Tanuke's Would You Rather? This episode's all about camping. I'm assuming it's camping related, or is it? Let's find out.
Yeah. So, say if you were camping for, I want to say, about 3 months on your own in the wilderness, would you want a lighter or a machete? What would be your top?
Lise, what you got?
I'm going machete because... when I did my run around the coast, I didn't have a cooker of any kind, and I just did like cold camping food. So I think I could survive without a lighter, whereas a machete, it'd be useful to, I don't know, kill a rat. I'm saying that and I'm thinking, what am I doing with this machete?
I was going to say, where are you camping? I'm with you. I'd go machete. I kind of think actually it'd be quite useful because you could chop stuff and then you can maybe make fire. You probably know how to do that, right?
Yeah. It's a long process though. making fire out of nothing is long.
How do you do it?
There's a couple of different ways to do it. One of them's like a bow drill situation. But you need a knife to make all of those things anyway. So it would probably be machete is the top.
Cool.
Yeah, nice. Okay. So machete or lighter, I think that'll be the hashtag for this episode of the pod show. So firstly, before we go on to the next one, the next episode in 1 week from today will be all about running. But before we leave, just like to say a big thank you to the guys at Yonder who are giving away the ultimate swim bundle. Check out the show notes to see how you can enter there. Thank you to the hosts, and we will see you next week for the pod show about running.
And thank you, Mike, for bringing us to the end of episode 4 of the National Outdoor Pod Show, a little peek behind the scenes of the show itself. Thank you for joining us. Please make sure to like, comment, subscribe, follow, do all the fun things, whether you're listening or watching on YouTube. Tune in next week for an episode all about running. Same place, same time. But also make sure to check out all of the other episodes alongside that competition that Mike talked about. I've been Dom, hosting you through this episode, and we'll see you in the next one.